Good morning. This is Perspectives. I'm Celeste Baragni. And this morning, my guest is Phyllis Elliott. She's the co-founder and executive director of Hidden Pond Farm Equine Rescue in Brentwood, New Hampshire. Good morning, Phyllis.
Good morning.
You have an amazing farm filled with horses that need homes and need care, rehabilitation, and all of that. Tell us how Hidden Pond Farm Equine Rescue came to be.
It was a morning I had just a little too much coffee, honestly, and I wanted so badly to go to the horse sale in New Holland in Pennsylvania, which is a low-end horse sale. I don't know if any of you read the book, The $80 Champion, or watched the documentary Harry and Snowman, but I was familiar with this story when I was in elementary school, which was about 50 years ago, scary to say. So I really wanted to go there, and I was on the internet trying to search out all these things, and I came across a GoFundMe starter. Says, you know what? Maybe I'll just write a story and I'll try to do a GoFundMe. And I got it all written out and I was afraid to do it. What's my family going to think? I'm begging the public for money. I'm doing this backwards. And I just hit send. And we ended up our first trip, May 23rd, 2014. We bought 4 ponies and 4 minis down there. It was an amazing journey. And we had everybody at home by the time we got home in the drive. All of our little animals got a home. So we ended up, my daughter went a second trip the last Monday in August and the first Monday in September. So all said and done in 2014, we rehomed 22 horses.
Wow.
One of the ponies we got, his name was Harry, and he passed away. He lived 7 months here, but he taught us all about life, love, hope, opportunity. He was so pitiful. I don't know if he's still on our website or not because it was so long ago, but he didn't blink. My friend thought he was blind because he wouldn't even blink when you tried to touch his face. He didn't move. He had no water. He had no food. But the second he got on that trailer and traveled home, his eyes lit up. We had a 4x4 with a box in the middle. So we had the 4 ponies in stalls and the 4 minis in a box in the middle. And when we stopped, the 4 minis were in Harry's stall with him. He was like the big grandfather. So that basically set us on our course. And we got some regular donors and did our nonprofit paperwork, which was tedious, but it was done. And the rest is history. We're on our way.
Wow.
So we're very young. We're not an old, been there forever organization. And we're constantly getting as much education as we possibly can. And we learn along the way.
And tell us about Hidden Pond Farm itself, because you have some acreage and different buildings and things like that to be able to have all of these horses.
We have just a hair shy of 30 acres, mostly open, perimeter fenced. There are a few different barns. There are 3 run-in sheds. I prefer run-in sheds so horses can come and go as they please. Seem to be getting a lot of mares that are due to foal. One's a surprise, and she's going to foal soon.
Wow.
So we need to have them in stalls, and we actually have a baby cam on that mare so we can check in on her at night or during the day when we're not around to make sure she's doing well. It's very open, so you can come down the drive, especially with COVID. You know, COVID has been a scary thing, and some of our volunteers couldn't come. But you can come here and easily 6-foot distance from everybody. You might not see another human for the entire time you're here because one barn is way up on a hill and then there's another hill and there's a run-in shed in the field and it's very peaceful here.
And people can adopt horses or lease horses. Tell us how that works.
For leasing, it's on farm only. I enjoy doing that, especially if someone wants to adopt and they're not sure how it's going to go, that they get to know the animal before they take it home. By doing that, they're going to have a bond with the horse. When the horse transitions yet again, it will have somebody familiar to take care of it. There are a couple of families here that do lease on property, and they'll stay here. One little girl is only 8 years old, and she said, "How long can I lease Louise?" And I said, "Well, how long do you want to lease her?" And she said, "Forever." And I said, "Okay, done."
Oh, that's sweet. And you have some horses that are bonded, correct?
Correct.
And tell us about that. They're bonded so you wouldn't separate them, right?
No. Arthur and Dundee are a prime example. They didn't come in bonded. They came in at different times, but they ended up becoming quite the pair. Dundee was very quiet and easygoing and Arthur has a little motor to him. He likes to bronc around sometimes. The little girl by the name of Jaden, who's one of our barn angels, she loved him. She's the smallest one here. She picks the biggest horse with the most attitude. They've trail ridden them all through Brentwood, through water, down the road, and the two of them together do very well, but they don't do well separated. So it became quite apparent that they needed to go home together, and they did. They went home about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's a great story. I love that. And what is the process for adopting a horse?
We have an adoption application that you can fill out right online from our website. That gets filtered to me where you put your name, your address, if there's a horse in particular, the horse's name, your vet, your farrier, where you're going to keep the horse, and schedule an appointment to come visit. And I prefer multiple visits if possible, again, to create familiarity between the horse and the human. And then we get to see how the human interacts with the horse. You know, is the horse too much for the human, or is the human not educated enough to take a horse home yet? Where we'll gladly do whatever we need to do to make it work for both. And after that, there's an adoption contract, which is pretty basic, that they are able to rehome the horse if they need to, but only with an adoption contract further down the road that we maintain contact and we have to approve the new home. If we can't do that, then the horse will come back to us. And that's happened a couple of times. And I will tell you one thing that I've learned in all of this, and I've had horses since I was 7, I'm 62. I have learned more in the last 4 years about horses and what their needs are and health therapies and proactive treatments to keep them in good condition than I have in all my life. It's been quite the journey. And the people that come here are looking for what they can do for the horse, not what the horse can do for them. It's very different.
For people who aren't aware, there's still a horse slaughter pipeline, which is something that I'm not very educated about. And honestly, when I went to your website and I read more about it, it's just chilling. And you are rescuing from kill pens. Tell us about those horses and what they go through to rehabilitate. How did you connect with that?
The kill pens. Well, I think Facebook and social media had a lot to do with that. As a kid growing up, my dad used to take us to auctions. And actually, I love auctions. I love, you know, wheeling and dealing and buying something wholesale instead of retail, especially something that has a little boo-boo when you make it better. But for the rescue, it's any horse. I don't care whose horse it is. You're one sale away from a slaughter plant. They ship to Canada, they ship to Mexico, they ship to Japan, they ship to China, they ship all over. And it's not the horse's fault. 92% of horses that land in a kill pen are healthy, young, sound, and can live normal, productive lives.
What happens to the horse? Is it for horse meat?
Human consumption. We do have a meat packing plant for horses in New Jersey that I'm aware of. It's only one that I'm aware of. I don't know if there are any more. And that is animal food, you know, zoos and things like that. The rest of it is going for human consumption, which is kind of crazy because these horses, especially race horses and show horses, they're pumped full of drugs their entire lives. So you're consuming carcinogenics in your meat when you're eating horse meat. So it's illegal to slaughter horses in this country for human consumption.
As I went on to read more information on your website, this is a cream that I have heard of. It's called Premarin, and it's a vaginal cream for women who are going through menopause. It's a hormone replacement product for perimenopausal and menopausal women. And you don't think about where all of the ingredients come from necessarily, but this cream, what kills me is there are safe bioidentical products that can be used instead of this cream. But the process of creating this cream involves mares being artificially inseminated. And can you explain it?
So the horses stand in like cow stanchions. They're given limited water because to concentrate their urine. The urine is collected and it is used to make Premarin cream. I believe there was a Premarin pill. I don't know if that's still in existence. And people ingest this. So you're eating horse pee. The byproduct of doing this, it's cruelty for the mares, first of all, because they don't get turned out. They don't move around. They get a collection bag placed on them to collect urine. And then the byproduct, obviously, is the foal. No one wants the foal. So the foals get shipped to auction. There's not enough buyers, so they ship to slaughter. It's a horrible way to make a product, and the product is not good for humans either.
And those mares are just impregnated again and again and again, artificially. Once again, that's Premarin, and that's a Pfizer product. Stay away from it. Don't buy products from companies that do things like that to our animals. So on to happier subjects, but I know that was a little bit dark, but that's the reality. And I think that it's something that a lot of us are sort of protected from. We're in a bubble about it. I didn't know about that until I went to your website, which is HiddenPondEquineRescue.org. And you can find more information there. And one of the things that you can learn about is donating to Hidden Pond Equine Rescue, which is a great thing to do. You can make a one-time or a monthly gift. You can sponsor a rescue horse. You guys have pictures up two of the horses. Do you get to pick a horse?
Sure, absolutely.
And do you let people come out and just visit?
We love visitors. We love visitors because then we can educate.
You can go to HiddenPondEquineRescue.org to make your donation. And I did earlier today.
I saw that. Thank you.
Earlier today, just through my PayPal, it was the easiest thing ever, you guys. And you'll feel so good once you read more about Hidden Pond Equine Rescue. I know you're going to be moved to make a donation as well. I only wish I lived closer so I could go volunteer for you.
You'll need to visit.
Yeah, I will. You do have a supplies wish list. Can you tell everybody about that? Maybe they can pick some stuff up for you and bring it over when they visit the horses.
Oh, sure. We have a supplies wish list that whatever items that we're needing for the horses. I had mentioned a couple of days ago, gee, I'd really like some clippers for the horses so we can clip their bridle path. And we did get a pair from ASPCA, which was wonderful. And I have a thank you card in the mail to them. Things like salt licks, the 50-pound salt licks, because they last about a year. Pitchforks. I don't know what happens to our pitchforks, but they break pretty easily. We have lots of volunteers. We pick up as much as we possibly can. And on 30 acres with grass pasture and dirt lots, it's a lot of picking. We go through pitchforks lately a lot. Double-ended snaps, screw eyes, you know, anything you could possibly imagine that you would need on a horse farm. Brooms, a regular like kitchen broom is priceless to us. Horse feed, hay, grain, all of those things that they eat, shavings. We're a nonprofit now. We're solely funded by donations. And anything that you could do is wonderful. I hear a lot of times that, oh, I wish I could do more. But, you know, even a dollar goes a long way.
Get over there and make a donation at HiddenPondEquineRescue.org. And you also are looking for veterinary supplies and medications, which I imagine are really expensive. What are you looking for donations?
We use a lot of natural herb and remedies. Emerald Valley Equine is our choice supplier for natural remedies. So you can go on their website and you don't need a veterinary prescription to do that. We could use Bute, which is a pain reliever, and also Equiox, but I believe the vet has to make a visit and do a health exam to prescribe. We have a lot of older horses that we keep working, giving pony rides and things like that to our visitors. It's just like someone has a little bit of arthritis.
Right.
To keep them feeling a little better.
So make a one-time gift or a monthly gift, sponsor a rescue horse. Once again, you can view the horses at their website, and you can even choose which horse you would like to sponsor and make it kind of a family project where the kids are involved and they can feel like they have a horse of their own, you know, and go visit every now and then. The other thing that you need a lot of, I imagine, are volunteers. You need to exercise a lot of horses. During COVID-19, you were saying that some of the volunteers haven't been able to make it in. Are you accepting new volunteers right now?
Yes.
How would they go about that process?
Again, they can go to our website, and there is an online form to contact me and just put volunteer in the subject line and who you are. And if you have no experience, it doesn't matter because we'll teach you. And if you do, even better.
HiddenPondEquineRescue.org is the website. Thank you, Phyllis, so much for being with us this morning, for giving us so much great information.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
We've been speaking with Phyllis Elliott, the co-founder and executive director of Hidden Pond Farm Equine Rescue in Brentwood, New Hampshire. I'm Celeste Baragni. This has been Perspectives.